Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the new premiere podcast, The Frisco Report. All right, Frisco Report is going to be a weekly show for you guys. Like I said, this is a new launch. This is a premiere episode of The Frisco Report. It's going to be myself and my co-host. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, guys, what's going on? It's me, Mike, also known as Dallas Cowboy Football News on YouTube. It's a privilege and an honor to be here. Cowboysblog.net, Joe, and just looking forward to get this show started, get this season started.
That's what it is. That's what it is. We're going to bring you consistent content on a weekly basis, like I said, just give you the latest news. You know, it will be weekly, but if something, you know, big comes out, like a trade or, you know, whatever during the season, that won't stop us from, you know, shooting a quick podcast on the fly for you guys, you know, just to give our quick little take on stuff. So without further ado, our first podcast is going to begin now. So basically, just an outline of what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about, you know, this preseason game that just finished. We're going to do an update on Zeke Watch. And obviously, the big news of the day, the Jalen Smith contract extension. And then we'll close it out with the Houston Texans Game 3, the dress rehearsal game. All right. So let's get into this, Mike. Before we start, how can our subscribers get a hold of your content out there?
Oh, absolutely. I'm on YouTube and on Facebook, Dallas Cowboy Football News, on both of those. I'm also on Twitter. I like to interact with fellow Cowboy fans on there. I don't call people who watch me fans of me, because we're all Cowboy fans watching the same stuff at the end of the day. So if you like to like directly link up with me, Twitter is the best place to do it, at DCF News 1. I usually retweet a lot on there and, you know, and comment and maybe talk some trash. But other than that, I kind of keep it PG-13.
There it is. There it is. All right. So make sure you hit up Mike there on his social networks there. And obviously mine as well. CowboysBlog.net and also CowboysBlog on YouTube. Okay. So let's get right into the conversation, Mike. Okay. So the preseason game, it just finished, right? So we went to Honolulu and we faced the Rams, right? Mm-hmm. What is your take on that game, just real quick? Like, who stood out to you, and who didn't? Like, who stock went up, who stock went down, in your opinion?
Oh, Justin Phillips, number 44, that linebacker. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been cut and he's been signed back to that roster, Cowboys roster, and Justin Phillips has really been making a name for himself. I mean, you couldn't help but see number 44 and look for that name on the back of the jersey. Like, who is that, you know? Mm-hmm. And Justin Phillips has really, really taken this camp and running with it, and that's good. Michael Jackson, our corner, he did not stand out to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he's rusty, but he does have a good teacher in Chris Richard. And so I can't wait to see this guy develop, because right now he looks horrible. But, you know, if he makes the 53 or the practice squad, I can't wait to see that progression like we've seen in Donovan Alumba.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree, man. Donovan Alumba, I think, is pretty close to clinching a roster spot. He looks good, and obviously he's got all the measurables that Chris Richard likes. 6'2", about 200 pounds. He's a little slender, but... man, you just see him everywhere. He's always around the ball, tipping the pass. I agree with Michael Jackson. I think he looked better in minicamp than he has in training camp in the preseason. I don't know if the lights got too big for him. But, you know, it's not out of the realm that they keep him. There's talk that they might go deep at one of these positions. Obviously, you know, you're probably going to carry two quarterbacks instead of three. Tight end, you're probably going with... three as well. I don't think they'll carry the fourth one this year. So you're going to get some spots that you could go a little deeper that you haven't in the past, right?
Say that one more time.
You're going to go a little deeper, you know, in as opposed to, you know, years past. Like wide receiver, you might go a little deep. Defensive line. Let's talk about defensive line, man. I think the guys that have kind of stood out the most have been some of these young rookies, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, Tristan Hill, I mean, he's a second rounder. He hasn't looked amazing, but you do see some of the traits that they liked, you know, for him coming out off the snap. He looks really fast off the snap. But, you know, I think Marinelli has something that he can mold, you know, like a like a pile of clay. I think he really likes that, and I think he's taken his coaching well, but it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be, you know, a progression throughout the season with Tristan.
Oh, absolutely. When I was at training camp in Oxnard a couple of weeks ago, I seen Rod Marinelli and Tristan Hill, and I got pictures of it. It's actually one of my thumbnails on one of the videos. Rod Marinelli was just talking to Tristan Hill, spending so much quality time and just coaching him up. Okay, if this happens, I mean, you can hear him talk. I was right there on the field, basically. If you see this, do this. And Rod Marinelli was just teaching him, and he was, you could just see his eyes light up. And Tristan Hill was just taking it all in. It was actually, as a fan looking at that, it was actually really cool to see. So 79 is looking really, really good out there. And you're absolutely right about these young rookies. And Antoine Woods in the preseason games, him and Malik Collins. I mean, that is a duo in the middle at 1 Tech and 3 Tech. I mean, these guys can disturb and stop the run.
Yeah, I like that. And you know, that's really where the Cowboys got gashed and exposed by the Rams in the playoffs. So it was good to play. It was good to see them, you know, playing the run better in this game. They look pretty stout. So it's very exciting for me to see, you know, that progression of the defensive line, especially with what we, you know, did last year. You know, they just got ate up. You know, they got exposed. But I think you got better. You do have a better rotation there. Malik Collins, he's trying to grab the bag, as they say. He looks good. But let's see if those feet hold up. You know what I mean? He keeps having those fractured feet and that kind of thing. So we'll keep an eye on him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's one thing about Malik Collins. He was a third round pick, and the talent's there. Like, this guy just needs to stay healthy. I mean, he had toe issue after toe surgery. I'm surprised he has a toe left, as many surgeries as this guy had on his toes.
Yeah, that's true.
And so if he can stay healthy, man, I'm telling you, Malik Collins is a beast. It's just availability is best ability.
That's what it is. So I think at the end of the day, this staff is going to have one hell of a time trying to see who makes it, because there's just so much talent out there that looks good. I mean, Jalen Jukes shows some flashes. You know, Joe Jackson showing some flashes. So it's like, man, and I talked about this before. This is, I mean, moving forward, I feel like the Cowboys, we're going to lose players that you don't want to see gone, but we just don't have enough room. You know, we got 53 is the rule, and that's what you can carry. And then your practice squad player. So I think at this point, you know, you're starting to see the separation between who's in, who's on the bubble, and who's probably out. Okay, so let's talk about a little bit of that. Who do you feel that is on the bubble, or who do you think is probably on their way out here?
You know what's so crazy? And I want to call him Devin Street, because Devin Street, we're number 15, and this guy's – it's Devin – what's number 15's name?
Devin Smith.
Devin Smith, thank you. And it starts with an S, so I get so confused. Devin Street's long gone. But, you know, I'm going to make a bold prediction here, Joe, and people might call me crazy, but I really haven't seen as much as I wanted to see from a Randall Cobb. Mm-hmm. And you know, if these guys – John Via Johnson, he has 2 games left to prove something. And Devin Smith isn't giving up. You know, I mean, with the offensive line issues, right? You want to go heavy at offensive line, because Tyron Smith's already having back issues. Zach Martin's out with back issues. So you want to go heavy there. You want to protect yourself. You want to protect your quarterback. You want to protect your running back, open holes and stuff. So you got to go light somewhere. And I can see them going with 2 quarterbacks, but it's hard to say they're going to go with 6 wide receivers. It really is, because you got good defensive line depth and you need offensive line depth. So I think if Randall Cobb don't, shape up, you know, and we've seen Cowboys bring veteran players here and they didn't make the team. You know, I mean, Nolan Carroll lasted, what, 2 weeks? There was a veteran last year that we signed, and I mean, he didn't stay too long. I cannot think of his name to save my life. I'll look it up here in a minute, but I don't think Randall Cobb is safe.
Yeah, that would be a shocker to me. But you know, I do agree that it's very possible they could go five, you know, at least early on in the season. But, you know, it's just like, it seems outside of Gallup, a lot of these guys are just beat up. You know, you got Amari Cooper. He's got the plantar fasciitis. That's a scary injury, and we haven't seen anything yet from him. So that's a question mark. And then these other guys that are injury-prone.
You know what's crazy about Amari Cooper in this injury? This was a lingering issue since he's been an Oakland Raider, because he just said, I got 1,000 yards with this injury. I just got to protect myself and protect my foot, and I'll be fine. So
that's interesting.
And if you watch those highlights before he got traded to the Dallas Cowboys, he had ankle issues. And I think this is I think this injury's been there his entire career. And you know how Cowboys are. They got the world best doctors. So I don't think anybody could really pinpoint exactly what it was until he got to the Cowboys staff. That's just me, because he's had ankle issues or foot issues with Oakland, and you can see that throughout his career.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike. You know, he did miss some games over there, and, you know, he kind of wondered. That was kind of one of the question marks when they made the trade was, well, he's missed some games. You know, is he injury prone? What's the deal there with that? So I think he might be onto something there. Yeah, the Cowboys, they do have the best doctors in the business. So that wide receiver thing is gonna be interesting. John Bay, I think right now he's probably on the outside looking in. In my opinion, I think he's fighting for a practice squad. If not with the Cowboys, with somebody else. And then Reggie Davis too. These two guys have disappointed me in the preseason. They looked the part in minicamp and at training camp, but man, when they're playing with these guys in live action, they just disappear. And it happens every single year. And it seems like it's always a receiver. You know, Andy Jones, Lance Lenoir, these types of guys.
Yep. Let me ask you this real quick while we're on who's in and who's out. Is Tavon Austin safe?
Yeah, I think Tavon Austin is safe, and just by default, because the quality just isn't quite there. You know what I mean? It looked like something that was gonna be a strength is now kind of like, you know, to me right now, Gallup is your number one. Everybody else is just like, who, you know, Cooper, where are you coming back? How are you gonna look when you come back? Are you gonna re-aggravate what you currently have? Randall Cobb, I think he'll be okay as long as the hamstrings don't act up. And then Tavon Austin, they'll probably put him on returns, but he's kind of scary with the fumbles in the return game.
So the hamstrings.
Yeah, to me, like on paper, before all this started happening, that wide receiver looked, you know, really, really strong. But now it's a little bit of a question mark. It's a little bit of a question mark for me.
I think if Zeke gets signed before this, they have to do it after Houston Texans. Zeke has to get signed. That means he'll come in, he'll get refreshed, he's ready to go. Because you just don't plug and play players who hasn't played any football since the OTAs. So I think if Zeke gets signed, I don't think Tavon Austin is that safe. And here's why: Tony Pollard can do the exact same thing, and he has no injury history. Because, I mean, how many games did you miss with Tavon last year? How many games did we have to put Cole Beasley back there returning punts and got nowhere with it? Yeah. I think Tavon might be on the bubble if Zeke gets signed Saturday
after the Houston Texans. Yeah, I could totally see that. You know, the Cowboys, for whatever reason, they're in love with Noah Brown. And if Noah Brown were out there, I think, you know, you would have a lot stronger case for him being that number four receiver and not Tavon Austin. Like I said, Tavon Austin by default, with all the other guys not looking as good as they are and people getting banged up, he's your number four. But if Noah Brown were more available, you know, he'd probably lock that up. So they are talking about Noah Brown as possibly going on PUP, as a PUP to return type of player. So that does kind of leave, you know, that does give some credence to your prediction that maybe they go five. You know what I mean? So that's definitely a possibility there. I'm hoping that Cedric Wilson is one of these receivers. I like him. He's a draft pick. I think he's coming along really well, and I think he could be your successor for the slot. You know, you have a Randall Cobb on a 1-year deal, and you don't know how he's going to look. But you know, and then you don't have to, you know, play the draft game with looking for a slot guy. You know, like, do you really want to waste a draft pick on a slot player? You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to draft a slot player early. That's a wasted pick. Like a John Ross or one of these guys, it's all about speed, and then they don't do crap in the league. So I think the NFL has gotten smart about that. You know, DJ Moore might be the exception in Carolina, but outside of that, man, a lot of these guys that go early, you know, they're not panning out. So slot receivers, they can be had in later rounds. So we'll see what happens.
Do you think the Cowboys drafted Brian Switzer to be a slot receiver?
I think that's what they wanted to do, but there's got to be more to that story, man. There's some juice to that story, because they abandoned him quick his rookie year. They didn't even let him finish, and they traded him for a bum defensive tackle who didn't do crap for us. So
didn't do nothing.
Yeah, that trade just didn't make sense to me. I didn't get it. And Switzer, for his part, you know, he's doing his thing in Pittsburgh. You know, they're utilizing him well. So I don't know if it was just maybe he was clashing with Linehan.
In all honesty, who wasn't clashing with Linehan? But people had to keep it quiet, or if not, they'll get punished.
That's what it was. You know, you had Dez Bryant coming out saying that it was, you know, the play calls were kind of predictable. Switzer, and then who was the other guy that we let go?
Amari Cooper was basically saying it last year.
Yeah,
because he was like, Dak, the same play, the same route, dude. Come on, man, hit me on this route. And finally, Dak looked up, read the defense, and said, "Yeah, let's go ahead and do that route." That was against the Eagles. And you notice after that game, I mean, Amari Cooper was not even heard of. Like, Scott Linehan shut him out. He shut his own player out. Makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm so glad he's out of here. I think he was a big part of the problem. So I think Kellen Moore, they're giving him some more, they're giving him a longer leash to make some changes here, you know, freshen up the playbook. You know, I'm sure we're going to see some of the same basic plays, the foundation plays and that type of offense. But, you know, you would like to see Zeke and Pollard in the same backfield in scared defenses. You know what I mean? Like, that would be exciting to me.
How would you defend it?
Like, that's a scary thing, you know? Like, as a defensive player, coordinator,
you got a 100% Cooper, a 100%, and I'm talking about health-wise, 100% healthy Cooper, Gallup, Randall Cobb, Tavon Austin, and you got Pollard and Zeke. Do you know how much speed that is?
Yeah, it's a lot of stress points, man. It's a lot of stress points. And that's really what this team needs. They need to be more prolific, more explosive, because it wasn't enough. You know, and the red zone crap, that killed us. Then you're waiting on Maher, who, that's a player I think is on the way out. You know, speaking of players on the way out, Maher, that guy sucks.
Oh, dude, how can you be an NFL kicker, but you can't make anything inside the 30, but you can make everything outside the 30, even though he did miss a 52-yarder. You know what's crazy, how the universe works? This guy made the team last year because he made a 52-yarder. This guy's going to get cut now because he missed a 52-yarder.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing, man. Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. But let's go ahead and talk about Zeke here, all right? We're on – I don't even know what day we are on Zeke Watch, but we're still on it. So the whole
23 days?
Yeah, something like that. So the whole thing this weekend was he was seen on an airplane, and it was verified that that was, in fact, him – leaving Cabo to Dallas, and then we find out from Eric Dickerson that all it was, you know, him getting his barber, getting a haircut, and picking up some clothes, and going back to Cabo. So, what's your gut feeling here, Mike? What's your gut feeling here on Zeke Watch? Do you think there's an end in sight, or is this looking like it's going to go deep into the season?
Oh, there's an end in sight. I mean, if you're holding out, and you're an NFL player, and you got the money Zeke has, I'd be in Cabo too. But at the same time, you know, Jerry Jones made that comment about Zeke who talking about Tony Pollard. And, you know, Zeke's agent came out and said that's disrespectful. What's disrespectful is you got 2 years left on your deal. This organization has your back for all the trouble you've been in. And you're over there in Cabo. working out, obviously doing the right things, taking care of his body, but you should be with your team. That's the most disrespectful part about it. But to answer your question, Joe, Zeke watch, we got 14 days until we start prepping for the Giants. I think the contract will get done within these 14 days. That's what I got. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping that is what happens, but on the other side of the coin, I wouldn't be surprised at this point if it does go longer. I'm just hoping that it doesn't. I'm hoping that, like you said, like, you know, this is sort of a deadline, you know, because he will start incurring, you know, game checks, and that's a lot more than these little fines he's accumulating. We're talking like, I don't know what, $250,000 a check a game.
Easily.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money just to throw out the drain. And then if you don't even come out with a new contract, it's a bad move. But yeah, man, like I you look at how Jalen Smith has handled his career versus Zeke. They're night and day, you know. I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, Jalen Smith is the type of player you want. Somebody that puts the work in, very humble. You know, doing a lot for the community, outreach, you know, minorities, business, entrepreneurship. I mean, I am so proud of Jalen Smith. Like, today was one of my happiest days in a long time as a Cowboys fan, because I think, man, he deserves it, man. He deserves it. It's a really great story. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It really is. I mean, Jerry Jones was almost in tears.
Yeah, I saw that.
Press conference opening up. That just tells you right there. Jerry Jones just don't cry for anybody. That right there tells you what kind of man, an individual, Jalen Smith is, man. I was happy that we drafted him back in 2016.
Yeah.
Second round. I mean, huge chance. And Cowboys have the insight. You know, I mean, there's nothing new. The Cowboys doctor who we just talked about did his surgery. You know, and you know, just for him being a Cowboy, he got to play with his brother Rod Smith for a couple of years. It was the first time they ever got to play on the same team as Cowboys, and you know, just for the money. I don't know if you disclosed that yet or not, but the money is $12.8 million average a year.
Yeah.
You know, if Zeke gets this big contract, Zeke's gonna be making more than Jalen Smith.
Yeah, it's big. It's pretty big money, you know, and
hometown disc.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah. So Jalen, if he wanted, he could have done something similar, you know. But he doesn't go that route. He wasn't gonna go that. He was grateful, humble, and for Zeke, I just feel like, you know, like we're saying, like, they've had his back throughout all this, you know, stuff with Goodell, you know, the Vegas. Whatever you want to call it, that, like, it's just.
I want to talk about bringing those penis guns to the bar. I mean, Dak Prescott was involved in that too, but that was probably the only.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah,
you know, you want to talk about the shirt pulling down, yep, that woman, yep, in New Orleans.
That one too. Yep.
The Vegas thing, the domestic violence distraction that was. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Zeke is the NFL's biggest knucklehead besides Randy Gregory. I'm telling you, Randy Gregory just has one issue. Zeke makes issues.
No, you know it what is. I mean? Yeah, it is. It really is, man. People can't sugarcoat it, and if they do, they're blind. I mean, he's just a meathead. You know, he's an athlete. You know, probably football and thinks about other stuff. He's just a pure meathead. But man, on the field, Zeke is a special, special talent. You know, so.
Oh, absolutely.
Man, I just...
Let me ask you this real quick, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, these players are saying, you know, Zeke's handling his business. But when do... Let's say Zeke doesn't get signed. And this thing lingers on. And, you know, we get past these three games and Zeke's still not here. And, you know, then we, you know, God forbid we start losing games or something. When does the players say, okay, this isn't about business no more. This is about being selfish. But we've seen it happen in the Steelers locker room.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah. And then that's not a good look for the player. At that point, I think you have a divorce from the team. You know, they had to get rid of Le'Veon Bell because I think the situation just became too toxic. You know what I mean? Just like...
They were still in this guy's apparel out of his locker and wear his apparel out of his, like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, something will, you know, a contract will be stricken at the end of the day. It's like Jerry Jones, he's, I mean, right now, this is Stephen Jones running point on this, but if this comes push to shove and they do start losing games, I could see Jerry Jones, you know, just taking over and saying, okay, we're going to pay my running back. This is what we're doing. And that's that. So
happened in 92 with Dennis Smith.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not out the realm, you know, and that's why Jerry says what he says. Like, I can get things done because he can.
He can. I remember when we drafted Connor Williams, I was at the draft. I was with my fellow Cowboy fan, Dallas Cowboy fan, 1980. And we just drafted Connor Williams. We're out there with Scott Hansen. And listen to me, Thompson, get the echo here. But anyway, we drafted Connor Williams, and this Eagle fan said, "Who are you going to throw the ball to?" And I was ignoring him at first, and just ignoring him, and he kept on asking the same question. So I said, "What are the Cowboys?" Jerry finds a way, and that came from the heart. That's the best comeback you can tell anybody when they say who. You know, Jerry finds a way, and you're right. Jerry's been doing this business for 30 years. And he took chances, he took risk, but he gets something done at the end of the day.
Yeah, man. So that's gonna be interesting. That'll be interesting to see where this contract goes. Like, do they break the bank? Like, does he get girly money? Does he get like some like, I've been saying this kind of half jokingly on some of my videos and some of my things. Like, say, you know, okay, Dak, the crazy number was 40. I believe that. Jane Slater is not going to be making crap up. But somehow it was leaked to her. I believe that $40 million number. What if it comes out, you know, like next week or something, that Zeke number is 20? How would fans feel about that? Would they just go off the cliff and explode or what?
Well, I can't answer that question because we want to keep it PG-13. So I can tell you right now, I can't. Just watch the YouTube channel when I post. If that ever happens, just watch my YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, man, I'm hoping it's a reasonable number, man. I mean, I'm fine with the girly number, but if it's something crazy, dude, like 18 or 20, right, even 17, I just like, man, that's a crazy number to me because – you got to look at the other – who else is going to garner big contracts like that? Barkley is probably going to be the next one that comes up. I mean, is
– Mahomes?
I mean, from the running back position. It's like there's not that many elite guys, right? Oh,
Barkley. Yeah. I was thinking of quarterback of Browns. Never mind. Yeah. And his name ain't even Barkley. My apologies.
So Saquon. Yeah, Saquon. So Saquon. Does Zeke want to get in front of that and like – make it where he can? I don't know. It's just a crazy thing, man. But Saquon's going to get paid some big money, too.
Well, Cowboys have been vocal about Todd Gurley didn't deserve that Todd Gurley money.
And that's because of that injury, too, right? So,
that injury came later, though.
Yeah, it came later, so now there's buyer's remorse. But if he didn't get injured, these guys would be like, man, this guy's the best and this and that. Like, I really don't think Gurley's going to be a factor for them this year. He's got something wrong. He's got something degenerative with that knee. They messed up.
He has arthritis in it.
Yeah, exactly. They messed up. They messed up big time there.
I like Stephen Jones, dude. And I think this signing with Jalen Smith, you know, really tells it. We're not going to be market setters. We're not going to break the bank. And I mean, if you look at it, Amari Cooper's a top five wide receiver. You know, Dak Prescott's a top 15 wide receiver. Maybe a 15 to a 10, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. Y'all can comment me. Remember, I gave you my Twitter already. Shoot me a DM. We'll talk about it. And then, you know, Zeke is a top five running back, top three running back. So, I mean, where do you really set that? It's almost like when you draft a player in the third round, they're usually the last players because that third round position, whatever, you know, left tackle, right tackle, corner, safety, whatever you drafted, all the market's different. So that's why your third round player gets signed last, because no one knows what the market is. Cowboys are kind of in this bubble right here with these three players. And, you know, what is the market? Jalen Smith, I'm telling you, Wagner got an $18 million contract. And Jalen Smith got a $12.8 million contract. Jalen Smith did the Cowboys a favor.
Oh yeah, he did. He did. He really did. He did the Cowboys a solid on that, and that was part of the thing was. And he even mentioned in his press conference that he, you know, he wants to be playing with these guys. He wants to help, you know, these other guys sign with the Cowboys. So, I mean, he's just a stand-up guy to me, man. I'm a big fan of Jalen. I love that guy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The other thing here,
he brings the energy.
Yeah, he brings the energy. He brings the energy, and that's something I've been predicting, that he will be a team captain this year. I did a video on it. I know a couple of guys are like, "Nah, it's still gonna be Sean Lee," and this and that. I'm like, "Why? Why is it gonna be Sean Lee? He's a Sam linebacker. He's not gonna be on the field more than like 30% of the time. And Jalen Smith is the play caller on defense. He did it, you know, already for a full year of it. So it's a no-brainer." Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you go look at Damian Wilson's stats. Sean Lee just replaced that position. Damian Wilson only had 4 career starts, and he played Sam linebacker his whole career with the Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah, so that's what it is, man. I think it's a time. Things are happening for Jalen. The Cowboys want him to be the face of the they want him to be one of the faces of the team. Yeah.
You know what's so crazy? I just thought about this because technically – Randy Gregory got extended into 2020. Remember that earlier this offseason?
Yeah, he did.
The Dallas Cowboys just extended 3 second-round draft picks in 1 year.
Yeah, so that's a good catch right there, Mike. And what that tells you is that some of those risks that they've been taking have panned out, you know, for the most part. Yep. You know,
and we can go as far as they took a risk on DeMarcus Lawrence because they traded up with the Redskins all the way to the 30th pick in the 32nd pick in the draft.
Yeah, the
so they traded up thinking. I mean, you trade up, you give up a 3rd and a 4th round pick. I mean, they took a gamble on DeMarcus Lawrence, hoping he would pan out, and it took him a couple years.
Oh, that's definitely true, man. The Cowboys are very patient with their draft picks. I mean, that's what they're doing with Taco too. Like some people are like. Let's trade him. Let's dump him. He's not gonna make the team. They're not gonna do that. They're patient. They're gonna let him do his thing, you know. So maybe he'll turn it around. I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping that because you know, and I've talked about this before too. DeMarcus Lawrence, beginning of his career, really kind of matches where this guy's at right now.
No, when it comes to Taco, I was on the boat of cut him, get him out of here. This guy has no energy. He's careless. Just from watching him on TV, when I went to training camp, the way he was on TV is exactly the way he is in person. Hmm. It's just the way he is. He hardly smiles. He walks like a slinky. If you get that reference, you know, it's like okay, this is just him. You know.
That might be what it is, man. It might be just like Marinelli doesn't like the body language. You know what I mean?
That could be it.
Yeah. That makes a big deal, man. Your body language is like, hey, do you want to be here or not? Do you want to play or do we want to give these snaps to somebody else? So,
Watch Armstrong will be more than happy to take those.
Yeah. I like the rotation, man. I like that defensive end rotation.
And Tyrone Crawford came back today. Tank Lawrence back today too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were both back on the practice field, so that's good.
Sean Lee came back.
That's huge for us. They got to knock some of that rust off, you know. So especially Lawrence, you know, sometimes he kind of starts out a little slow, but he loves getting him some Eli Manning. So I know he's chomping at the bit to get that game one under the bag. Man.
Oh, dude, I can't wait. My brother is a New York Giant fan, and he's coming down to my house. September 8th, we're going to watch the game together, but I have a reaction video in 2015. If you go watch the YouTube video, just type in Dallas Cowboy Football News insane reaction, and it'll pop up. And that whole game, do you remember 2015? 1:32, no timeout. Tony Romo goes down there, fumbles a snap, throws Jason Witten for the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was talking crap that entire game because the Giants had the lead. Tony Romo threw three interceptions. One of them was a pick six. I mean, we basically gave these guys 17 points. And my brother's just in my ear. And every time I try to say something, he would tell me to shut up. Shut up. Shut up. You don't know nothing. You're losing. You're losing. So when Tony Romo came down there and hit that 1:32 because Eli Manning threw the ball out of the end zone, like me and my brother were like 2 seconds away from getting into a fist fight. Now, that's how intense me and my brother get when it comes to Cowboys and Giants. We we almost fist fight.
Dude, that game was crazy, dude. I remember when Eli left that time on the clock, everybody's like, what is this guy doing? I was like, thank you, Eli. Thank you.
He threw it away, dude. They could have easily ate up and left us 45 seconds. But yeah. Eli was Eli. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's what he's had a lot of those in his career, man. I think that's why he's not getting that much love when it comes to Hall of Fame discussion. I mean, he's got the Super Bowl credentials, but then you got some of these other crazy things he's done through his career. So
he can thank Michael Strahan for that first Super Bowl ring, mm-hmm. and then he could thank his D line and for the second one.
Yeah, that's he's had an interesting career. It'll be interesting to see how he does in the Hall of Fame discussion when it comes up. But let's close the show out here, Mike, with the dress rehearsal game that's coming up this weekend against the Texans at AT&T Stadium. What do you want to come away with this game? All right, this is the dress rehearsal game. Give me your thoughts on what you want to come away with on this game here.
The Cowboys picked up 3 first downs against the Rams. And they almost, their first drive almost stalled because of that Dak almost fumbling on that sack on the 3-yard line. But I want to see third down conversions. Cowboys have been horrible at that. And I just don't want to see Jason Witten picking up third downs. I want to see Randall Cobb or Tavon Austin pick up a third down. I want to see not pinpoint accuracy, but I want to see accuracy when throwing the ball downfield in Dak Prescott. I might be asking for a lot, but one thing I did see is Travis Frederick running downfield for Tony Pollard to get into the end zone against the Rams. Travis Frederick is back, but I just seen one play from Travis Frederick of him being old Travis. I want to see more plays of Travis being Travis so I can get that security in my mind that Travis is back. The beard is back. And then on defense, you know, I want to see some more interceptions. Our sixth round pick Wilson got one, or number 37, 44 got one. I want to see the new paid man Jalen Smith, and I want to see Van Der Esch. I want to see one of our starters get a pick because we struggled in turnovers last year. We didn't get that many. We do everything accurately except catch footballs on defense, and I want to see footballs being caught on defense.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point there, Mike. I think it's gonna be a fun game. I wonder how long they're gonna play the starters. Like, you know, they say dress rehearsal. Sometimes you think dress rehearsal is like a half or maybe 3/4. For me, in the new age NFL, dress rehearsal to me would be like maybe a quarter and a half at the most. I don't want to see the starters out there past that. So that's one thing I'm hoping for. And like you said, defensively speaking, let's see somebody else show up and make a play. I'm hoping it'll be someone like Jordan Lewis or, you know, Xavier Woods, one of the safeties. Because they look really good in camp. I want to see that continue on the field. And who's going to line up against Hopkins? You know, that's going to be an interesting matchup. Do they put Alumba on him? Do they put Jordan out there on him? Like, who's going to cover Hopkins? You know, Hopkins is one hell of a player. You know, so he's almost unstoppable. You know, I mean, Byron Jones had troubles, you know, against him when we played him in the regular season last year. And Byron Jones, you know, he shut down a lot of wide receivers. But D-Hop, he's on another level. You know, I think he's arguably one of the number one guys out there. So that'll be interesting to see one of our vets take him out, you know, in the first half and see how they look, you know. And then obviously offensively speaking, do we see any teases of some of Kellen Moore's playbook, or is it still going to be kind of like the vanilla plays and that kind of thing? Because that's really what we've seen a lot. He hasn't shown too much. I think he's sprinkled in a little different plays here and there, but you know, they're not going to give up their playbook, but I'm with you. I want to see them convert the third downs, because that's killer, man. Like, if you can't do that, Something's not right.
Oh, and red zone scoring. I forgot red zone scoring. If we get in the red zone, it needs to be 6 points.
They got to get in. If you're in the red zone, that's it, man. This is the year that they have to do it, because Garrett, his butt's on the line. You know, he's on the hot seat by default because you can't come away with field goals, and especially if you have a kicker who has the yips, you're not going to put up enough points, and you're going to lose some games, you know. And this team to me is a 12-4 type of team. I mean, they have that level of talent. So
absolutely they do. Absolutely.
It's a Super Bowl or bust for Garrett. I really do believe that. I really think that if he doesn't get it done, Stephen Jones and McClay, they probably already have a short list of coaches that they believe in. And I think one of those guys might be Chris Richard, to be honest. I think he might be on that short list.
Yep. Let me ask you this, because I don't know, and maybe we need to look it up, but is there a deadline to sign a coach in season, or can you do that anytime?
No, you can do it anytime, but the thing is, you do have to go through the protocol. You have to go through the Rooney Rule. Like, you gotta, you know, you have to interview a minority, obviously.
I'm talking about like for extending Garrett. Like, let's say they wanted to extend Garrett in the season. Is there a deadline or anything like that, or can they do that?
Nah,
any day.
Yeah, that can happen at any moment. There's no deadlines with the coaches.
Yeah. Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's open. That's open throughout the whole year. So, you know, if these guys are 8-0 at the midway point, maybe he gets one. You know, or I don't know. You know, what would be interesting if they did do that. If they were like, I don't know, let's say that they were 7-1 or 8-0. You know, and then we get to the bye week and there's no extension. I think at that point, you are for sure.
Yeah, the on the wall.
The writing is definitely on the wall that it's Super Bowl or bust.
That's
because
a good point.
At that point, you're like, dang, what do you got to do to get a contract? You know what I mean?
Oh, Joe, that is a heck of a point, man. Because, I mean, the Cowboys are pretty active during bye weeks, though. They traded for Amari Cooper. They fired Paul Alexander last year. Yeah. They've even acted previous years. So if Garrett, like Joe said, if they're 7-1, oh man, and he don't get. Oh, dude, that's awesome. I'm gonna remember that this whole season.
It's true, man. It's just a good thing to have, but at the same time, it would speak volumes. You know what I mean? So.
Oh yeah.
We'll see what happens there, but I think that's it, guys. I think we did a good premiere episode for you guys. The FriscoReport.com premiere episode is in the bag. I want to thank my co-host Mike from Dallas Cowboys Football News. I really appreciate it.
No, man. Thank you. It's been fun. It's always going to be fun. Heck yes.
Yeah. So, you know, follow our channels. You know, we do a lot of our work on YouTube, but we do want to continue to bring our insight to the podcast. You know, you can take this on the road with you. You can listen to it on the car, on your drive home or to work, at the gym while you're pumping iron, or on a jog or whatever. You know, you can listen to some very insightful, intelligent, honest, no sugarcoating Dallas Cowboys discussion. All right.
Definitely. And you share it with your friends, guys. Share it with your friends. Shoot them the link. Let them follow it. Podbean is free. And iTunes, Spotify, all that should be coming here very, very soon. So definitely let your friends know about it.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike. Yeah, definitely hit. Yeah, this will be published on all the major, podcast providers. But you can also reach us through Podbean. You just go to www.thefriscoreport.com. So that's pretty easy. Just go to that domain. It'll take you to the site. You can click on the freshest, you know, episode and go to town on it. You know, give us some good reviews. Comment on the episode, and we really do appreciate it, guys. So thanks again from the bottom of our hearts. We'll catch you guys for the next episode. Peace out, everybody.
Peace out.